Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's been fun, and it's been fun to learn with everyone as we go along. And if I can say so, it's an honor to be on 106.7 The Fan on its 10th anniversary. So we're looking forward to being on the radio and talking to you guys until 3 o'clock. We have a two-hour bit day scheduled today. In about an hour, we're going to be joined, and by we, I mean you, because you went out to Eastern Automotive Group yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
And got a one-on-one interview with Landon Collins.
Plenty of bits in that interview, by the way.
Plenty of bits. Hashtag bandana talk with Blue Shorts and Landon Collins. I believe there was a point where, not giving too much away, you got laughed at by a real journalist in Kareem Copeland.
I did. He didn't mean it in like a mean-spirited way or anything, but he definitely did laugh out loud at one of my questions, which obviously didn't make me feel too good about the question, but that doesn't mean that I should have either.
Right. But we have a lot to get into. So we're celebrating the 10th anniversary today. Of 106.7 The Fan. We're going to talk to Landon Collins, and by we, I mean Shorts, and we're going to be taking your calls throughout this two-hour show. And there's only one place that I think when we came in, Shorts, that we really wanted to start with today, and it's the picture of the bit day that Richmond John made for the show today.
Mm-hmm.
It was the disaster of an end of a Nationals game last night, where you had Fernando Rodney in. He went for another inning after Victor Robles blasted a two-run bomb to tie the game in the ninth inning. Sean Doolittle had been up and gotten warm. They decided to continue to go with Fernando Rodney. And then as he juiced the bases, Davey Martinez decided, you know what? I made a mistake. Let's go and get Doolittle in the game. And then you saw him on the Masson camera kind of screaming at the general area of the field. And who's the bullpen coach? He was also not very happy.
I don't know about the bullpen coach, but I know the
there were multiple people that were not happy with the decision.
Well, it was just a disaster because this was like a peak Matt Williams decision. This was, you know, Jonathan Papelbon just choked out Bryce Harper in the dugout, but Papelbon's going to go and finish the game. Well, after the game, Matt Williams, why did you put Papelbon back in the game after he clearly choked out his teammate? His hands were on his throat. Well, that's because he's our closer. You know, this was this was peak like lack of self-awareness for the situation. It's against the Braves. It's a division game against the Braves. You just had a huge comeback with Victor Robles hitting a two-run homer in the top of the ninth to put you in that situation you shouldn't even be in. How about just maybe use your best pitcher that you have available to you, who, by the way, hasn't pitched since July 13th, I believe, and Sean Doolittle? Like, what are you doing? And, look, I'm nobody to be questioning a manager, and I understand that there's probably 1,000 reasons in his head why he goes to this guy as opposed to that guy. But it just – we know that Doolittle was available.
Yeah.
So you can't use that as an excuse. What are you doing? What are you doing? Rodney hasn't Rodney hasn't pitched two innings since 2013.
Right.
2013, and he's 42 years old. How do you do that?
Yeah, he's not a young buck anymore.
No.
But this is not a good week for the Nationals, I would say, as an organization and as a coaching staff, because if you rewind to yesterday's Grant and Danny show with Grant Paulson and Pete Medhurst, a majority of the conversation yesterday was about the handling of this Max Scherzer injury, where even you had Kurt Suzuki come on with Grant and Pete yesterday and say, Max Scherzer is going to be fine. He's going to be all right. And then a couple hours later, the reports were that he was going to miss his start tomorrow, where now he's going to miss his start tomorrow. And then in the game, a couple hours after the announcement that he wasn't going to be playing tomorrow, you have this disaster with the bullpen, where it just seems that this is not an organization right now. And you mentioned, Shorts, that they're 4-3 right now. When last week we were on the show, you had said they need to go 6-3 yeah. on this road trip to really still be involved in the playoff hunt.
Right.
And they're 4-3 right now, which means they need to win today and tomorrow to get to that number that you wanted them to be competitive at.
Well, it was a magic number that I'd seen on Twitter somewhere, where if they go 6-3 on this road stretch, they're good to go. If they don't, they're screwed heading into the trade deadline. Again, we talked about this last week, but the trade deadline is happening all in one fell swoop this year. It's a new rule change in Major League Baseball, so there's not going to be a non-waiver trade deadline and a waiver trade deadline, you know, that are about 2 or 3 weeks apart. It's all happening at once, so you have to get it right. And meanwhile, in the National League, there's all but maybe two or three teams that have a fighter's chance of making the wild card. So that's going to amplify the situation of this trade deadline. We don't really know what's going to happen because it's never happened before, but the Nationals needed to go 6-3 is the number that we came up with looking at this 9-game trip, and they're kind of on the brink of missing that mark a little bit here.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just it's concerning. I don't want to sit around and be like how Grant was yesterday, where Grant was, he was really freaking out mm-hmm. about the way that Max Scherzer has been handled and the fact that there hasn't really been a clear-cut definition of what's going on. And Carol Maloney was listening and ended up calling in and talking about her conversation. And everyone's trying to just piece together what's going on with this team right now.
Yeah.
And like what you just said, we're in the height of a situation where this team needs to be working together and operating as a team. And it doesn't seem like that, where the manager doesn't seem to be in clear communication of what he wants to do with the bullpen. And then you have your ace pitcher, which right now, you know, I know Bryce Harper has been struggling this year and has been underperforming on the contract in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right now, the star of your team. And for the future, people will make arguments for Anthony Rendon, of course. But for the most part, this is Max Scherzer's team. And you're not even decided on what you want to do with Max. And people will say, that's because he's a gamer. That's because Max likes to go out there and be a gamer. But I think there's something more to it, and it might come from the coaching staff.
Well, there's a pattern here, too, and this is the way that the Nats always deal with what ends up being serious injuries. And it starts as nothing, and then it's, oh, he's day-to-day. And then all of a sudden, it's been a week and a half, and you haven't seen or heard from the guy.
Right.
And then they at some point have to give you an update because they're either going to have to send him to the DL or not, or bring him back. And that's when you're naturally going to find out what was going on. But these injuries with the Nats always tend to start as nothing and then turn into, well, we haven't seen our ace in a month.
Like, yeah.
And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but we have learned a little bit more about the injury. We know that it's a bursa sac in his back, which I didn't know you had those in your back. I thought that was like an elbow and knee thing, but apparently that is the case. And the other little tidbit that we had gotten is that Max Scherzer had talked to a former teammate who recently had a similar injury, and that was Sean Kelly, who's now pitching great for the Texas Rangers. Shame for that.
Yeah.
But he had gotten an injection in a similar bursa sac injury and was back within like 5 to 6 days. But again, that puts Max on the timeline to miss this entire series, which is just unfortunate because it's a huge series. And if Davey Martinez hadn't given away that game last night, then maybe you had a little better situation coming out of this series. But
yeah, you would be in a situation where you could go 1-1 and still be at the number that you Shorts said
right.
that they should be at,
and have a quality road trip, and also dig back into closer to first place.
All right, so we're on till 3:00. At 2:00, we're going to play our exclusive interview with Landon Collins.
Yep.
And, you know, at 1:45, we do this every time we're on the air, Shorts. We're going to play the birthday game. That's at 1:45. It's a longtime staple of Bit Day.
Yep.
But more importantly, this is a show for you. This is a show for bits. This is a show to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of 106.7 The Fan. So we're going to be doing semi-open lines for you today. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. If you want to tweet us, you can tweet Shorts at Chris Langbach.
Or you can tweet Tom at TomDaily2.
Thank you. And please use the hashtag BitDay and hashtag Chris Russell is an ass. We'll be right back. You can tweet Shorts at Chris Langbach.
Yeah. And you can tweet Tom Daly at Tom Daly, too.
And if you want to give us a call on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines, you can. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Shorts, when I was in radio school about 10 years ago, I've worked here for 8 years, eight of the 10 years here that 106.7 The Fan has been in existence. When I was in radio school, I was told by my professor that it's not about what you have planned. It's about how you adjust.
Okay.
And it's about how you operate under a live radio setting.
Okay. I think you're getting at something here.
At 103.
Yeah. That's around the time we were going on the air.
Yeah. We had U2 playing. We were ready to go. We were about to welcome everyone into, we're about to say good afternoon, Washington, and welcome on everyone into Bit Day. I went to close the door.
Yeah.
And I got caught up on what we would call in the business a wire, okay? And my headphones were plugged into the audio jack here so I can hear what's going on the other side of the glass here that Sean's playing. I got so excited that my foot got trapped and coiled up in my wire.
Yeah.
And it was for my headphones, which are important because you need to be able to hear everything.
Sure, sure. You got to be able to hear your calls. You got to be able to hear yourself.
I tripped on the wire, and my headphones snapped in half. So my headphones are broken. But
the wire snapped clean off.
Good news, though. I was able to close the door.
Yeah, that's the most expensive door closing you've ever had.
And then we did the whole segment without me doing headphones. So kudos to me for being able to know the point where I say good afternoon, Washington, without even having my headphones on. I would say that's true radio professionalism right there.
Yeah. How does it go? So therefore, I am winning off the field.
Yes. That's on Friday, though.
Okay.
Speaking of things that we do on Bit Day, we'll do the birthday game. At 1:45 for you. At 2 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Landon Collins, and Shorts asks him quite a bit about bandanas. So listen for
that's
that.
That's not a good tease. Don't tease it that way. There was a great observation I made about something that Landon Collins had said about his former team, and his follow up was fantastic. So you'll definitely want to hear that at 2 o'clock.
So after I broke my headphones, we started the show ranting and raving about the disaster with the bullpen in the bottom of the ninth inning last night. Joe in D.C. gave us a call. Joe, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks for making the call.
Okay, I got a couple of things. One thing, I'm worried about Scherzer. I think it's worse than everybody's making out. I don't have a good feeling about that. You guys talk about last night when they blew the game. You know, he leaves guys in too long. He lets them load the bases. He had no one to take a guy out. He did that with Suero the other night. He loads the bases, and then we lose the game. And, you know, they're trying to make a big deal that this guy is all of a sudden a great manager. The only thing that's happening in this team is that they're playing better baseball. It has nothing to do with Davey Martinez.
And Joe,
thank you, Joe, for the call. I hung up on him because he doesn't like having conversations back and forth.
Well, one thing that I would say to his point about leaving Rodney in too long. He left Fernando Rodney in for an inning too long, obviously.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have come out in the ninth at all. But then Martinez had literally two more opportunities to correct the decision when he puts a guy on first, then he gives up a hit, and then he's got two guys on. Those are two more opportunities to right the wrong. He waits for Rodney to load the bases. Load the bases when you're away, you're at the at the Atlanta Braves home park. All they need is a run to win the game. And he waits until Rodney loads the bases to go, oh, maybe I should bring Doolittle in. Maybe I should get him warm. And so you see the confusion on Doolittle's face in that video that's online. What am I, 50-year-old man? Yeah, that video on Twitter.com that I saw last night.
Where I saw it on the World Wide Web.
Where Doolittle gets the very last minute call. He had already started getting warm, I guess, in the last inning and wasn't used. And so he's going, what the heck is going on here? You can see he's clearly flummoxed by the situation. Obviously, it didn't matter because the Braves won the game before they could get Doolittle in the game. But it reminds me of about 5 years ago, the Cardinals were in the playoffs. Mike Matheny was the manager, and I can't remember the name of the reporter, but Matheny had his closer, Trevor Rosenthal, who we all know now here in Washington, but he was great then, and he was one of the best closers in the game, and he never used his closer in the like most important inning of their entire season. And Matheny's answer as to why he made that decision afterwards was something to the effect of, well, he's our closer and we're on the road. And the reporter, whoever it was at the time, their response was, well, I guess you can wait until next year to use your closer.
Right. He'll be well-rested for the next game.
Because the season's over. But this is a similar situation, obviously a much less meaningful game, but it's still a meaningful game. You're against the Braves. You're behind them in the division. What are you doing? Use your closer for the most important inning of probably the entire series at this point.
And also, how many times have we heard that sort of baseball speak from managers where Matt Williams used to say things like that all the time and then essentially got run out of town because of saying things like that. Then Dusty Baker came in, and Dusty Baker would offer analysis like that in regards to the very famous Grant versus Dusty Baker, where he said, you know, I hit him sixth because I hit him sixth for Anthony Rendon, as opposed to hitting him second, where you see this a lot with baseball managers, where they just have these reasons for why things are done a certain way. Even if it doesn't make sense, they still defend it with, that's how we do things. And if I remember correctly, Shorts, when Davey Martinez was brought in to be the manager of the Nationals, the whole idea behind it was that he was a smarter, fresher mind to baseball, and that he was more analytical and things like that. Wouldn't it make a little sense to have your best bullpen pitcher, your closer in Sean Doolittle, come in on the road when you have to shut down that inning, as opposed to a guy that pitched an inning already?
Well, and this is the advancement that's been made in baseball over the past 6-7 years, where managers tend to use closers not so much to close out the game, but in the highest leverage inning. And the highest leverage inning is basically, well, this is the most important part of the game. We don't know when it's going to come, but we know when it's here. And last night, he knew that was the most important situation of the game, and still elected to trot 42-year-old Fernando Rodney out on the mound for a second inning, which is honestly baffling with knowing the fact that Doolittle hasn't pitched in 7 days or 6 days. It just doesn't make any sense. And managers always have the go-to excuse of, well, this guy wasn't available, this guy wasn't available. That's not public knowledge going to the game, so they can always kind of fall back on it. And it's usually justifiable. We just don't know those situations going to the game as fans. But you can't say that that was the case, because you had already started to warm Doolittle up in the inning before. So what are you doing?
1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. If you want to chime in on the Nationals and what happened last night, we will get to your calls next. You can give us a call and line up on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. Now, also, for the half hour coming up, we also have a couple of questions leading into Redskins training camp after we finish out with these Nats calls. And then if we have some time, we might have to bump it based off of how we're looking right now. We will do the birthday game before we get out of here, but we might have to move that because at 2 o'clock, we're going to play our Landon Collins interview.
That's right.
From the Eastern Automotive Group.
Great Landon Collins interview. Must listen, audio.
Yeah, a lot of bandana talk. This is Bit Day, 106.7 The Fan.
42-year-old Fernando Rodney come out for a second inning. He pitched a clean eighth, so I guess that's Dave Martinez's thinking. But then again, Rodney hadn't pitched two innings in his career in 7 years.
But I will say this.
And he's 42. Did I say he's 42?
Yeah, he is 42, and he wears his hat crooked, too. He's like Brock Plyman. But I will say this. If I can put my faith into someone in the bullpen, I think that there's enough history with Fernando Rodney that I feel comfortable with him being in that situation more than I do a Taylor Rainey or Trevor Rosenthal or insert relief pitcher here. I feel like I can give him a little more space than I think anyone you can in that bullpen.
Right. So you're Dave Martinez.
And also they were on the road, so I wouldn't play Doolittle. Let's go to Bob in Ashburn. Bob, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just trying not to melt out here.
It is hot out there.
It's unbelievable. But man, my big issue with it is that it's not even using the closer, but Doolittle's been the only guy that's been reliable in that entire pen all year. And in the biggest situation, you've got to use him. To ask Rodney to go to a second inning, and even if you put him out there, the second that first guy gets on, you've got to pull him.
Yep.
Having a closer is worthless if you never had a lead. The other thing that made it more frustrating is they had just got the momentum back in the game. They scored two in the top to tie the game. It's just kind of that situation where they had won the first game of the series. I think if you can take that game, have the momentum, who knows what would have happened. But yeah, to just basically give them the game like that was just incredibly frustrating.
Especially after they had stolen it back.
You just have the chance of getting the two, momentum, everything had flipped, and now's your opportunity to take this first two games. And, I mean, I just don't know what he was thinking, or maybe he just wasn't thinking. I don't understand it at all.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for the call.
Bob speaks for a lot of people, by the way.
Oh, of course. And a couple of trigger words that I read in Davey Martinez's comments after the game.
Do we need to issue a warning?
I think we should. Trigger warning, you've been duly warned. He said it's a tie game and we're on the road. I mean, those are two things where you're going, what the hell does that have to do with anything about this game? It's a division game. You're against the Braves. You're trailing the Braves. Who cares where you're playing?
You know what I would say? I would say, hey, Davey, you're on the road and you're facing the Braves and they like to hit the ball. See ball, hit ball. Maybe you don't want 42-year-old Fernando Rodney after you got Doolittle warm.
It's just, it's so befuddling.
Okay, here's another befuddling thing. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Look, I think everybody needs to pause the breaks. Now, my personal opinion is, I love Ryan Zimmerman, but I'm of the opinion Matt Adams needs to play every day. And the reason why I say that is because when he's up there, yes, he's either going to strike out or hit a home run. You don't get that with Ryan Zimmerman. And I'm of the opinion that I think this is a problem as wise as Cap needs to rear its ugly head. They scored 13 runs the other night. They score more. They are losing more games now with Zimmerman in the lineup than they are when Adams is in the lineup. You go back, you can check, you can find that out. I just think they're a better hitting offensive team with Adams in there than they are with Zimmerman. Zimmerman waits on pitches. Sometimes he strikes out. In the Philly series, he was up and down and stuff like that. You know, look, I love Ryan, but he's a bench player now. He's not the same. He's not Ryan of 5 or 6 years ago. He's not that guy. We need to put Matt Adams in more often or Kendrick in more often. That's my personal opinion. There end the lesson.
Thank you, Mark.
Fair point. Here's the argument for Ryan Zimmerman, okay? And this is going to frustrate people, but this is usually the logic behind Ryan Zimmerman is that when Zimmerman gets hot, he's the type of guy that can carry your ball club for like a month, right? So you have to get there at some point. You have to get him to the point where he's hot enough to carry your team. And
who's hot? Brought to you by Cholula Hot Sauce.
That's the argument, but the problem is he's just so set back behind the eight ball because of that injury to start the year that it's just you're kind of at the point where you're going, will he ever get there? And you're right about Matt Adams. I mean, the guy is boom or bust right now, and that's a good thing to have in your lineup on a daily basis, him or Howie Kendrick. And we're at the point now where neither of them are getting the time that really they should.
Final call here. Let's go to Jay in Lake Ridge. What's up?
Hey, my beef with Davey is he's not only lost the last couple of games, the Oriole game and that game with his managing, but he's lost the last four out of five losses that we've had in similar situations, just bad managing. And when a guy can't differentiate between runs and points, because he calls our runs points half the time, I just, he may be a great bench manager, but he's a lousy team manager.
Thank you, Jay, for the call. And I think that there were a lot of people that were concerned about that, but that was a risk that the Nationals took in this move to be more analytical.
This is one final point I want to make about Dave Martinez, and this isn't an original point. It's been made hundreds of times before, but this is kind of the decision that you – this is what you have to live with when you hire first-time managers, that there's going to be growing pains, a lot of growing pains, until he kind of figures it out and has that sample size in his brain to go, oh, I've been in this situation before. Let me not do this. Let me not pitch Fernando Rodney, who's 42. We can't say it enough. He's 42 years old for a second inning because his arm's about to fall off. Let's not do that. That's just kind of what you have to live with a first-time manager. Now, Dave Martinez is in his second year. He should know this by now, but, you know, hey, that's what happens until a guy gets enough experience to where he's got a resume like a Dusty Baker to fall back on.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes.
So inside. Do we want to shift gears here, Tommy?
Yeah, but let's get a break in.
Okay.
And then when we come back, Mike Vick was on with the Sports Junkies.
Right.
And he had something interesting to say about Jay Gruden and Dwayne Haskins, which leads to something that I saw last night where on the Score app, the Score mobile app, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, they had the top question for every team going into training camp. And their question, of course, dealt with Dwayne Haskins.
Now, it's important to note about this Michael Vick audio. This was a firsthand thing that he learned from speaking to Jay Gruden personally.
Right. And if you want to read about it or listen to a longer version of the audio that we're going to play on the other side, you can go to thefandc.com. But our question that we want to get from you guys is, what is your biggest question for the Redskins going into training camp? So if you want to get on the phone lines now, you can. 1-800-636-1067. Unfortunately, we will have to move birthdays to later in the show.
Oh, that's a shame.
But this is Bit Day. Tom and Shorts here on The Fan.
Yeah, it's not difficult at all when you have an opportunity to sit behind guys like Case Keenum, who has a ton of experience and knows how to play the game, and Colt McCoy. It's not like he's being rushed out there to play. He has some time to develop. And, you know, that's the most important thing for him right now. And, you know, I seen Jay Gruden at the golf tournament a couple weeks ago and asked him the same thing. He just looked at me and just said, it's going to take some time. So, you know, that's very fortunate for Dwayne to be in that position, man. You get to soak up everything. You get to gain a whole experience without having to be under pressure, and that makes it extremely easy when you step out there for the first time.
That was Michael Vick on with the Sports Junkies. Surprised, by the way, Shorts, that Cakes didn't sit out that interview.
Yeah,
you know, because he doesn't like controversial interviews. So having Mike Vick on the show,
that's rough. I'm going through a headphone issue here right
now.
Oh
no,
but yeah.
What's the deal with headphones?
Come on, Chris, get it together.
This
I'm like
bit
trying
day.
To turn the little knob to get it just right, and it's not playing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like every millimeter of a turn I make with my fingers, it's there. The audio's there for a split second, then it's gone.
Okay.
Come on. Let's get it.
Well, this is Bit Day. Thom and Shorts are with you. Mike Vick was on with the Sports Junkies. Shorts is still dealing with his headphones. But the big takeaway, Shorts, was that he mentioned how Dwayne Haskins will be able to soak in, which is almost like the Doug Williams soak over it and look each other line that he said, I believe, about Dwayne Haskins as well. But I'm very distracted by you, like,
I'm sorry.
Storming around the studio.
I completely ruined the opening of the segment.
We were doing pretty good, too.
Here was my takeaway from that, is that if it's Michael Vick talking to Jay Gruden casually on a golf course is a great place to get information because you got 18 holes. If you're Michael Vick, and I don't know what he's doing now, is he like a
media? I believe he works for Fox Sports.
So he is a media guy.
Yeah.
So he's got a reason to want to glean information from a one of 32 NFL head coaches. So a golf course is the perfect situation for to get that information. And if he's getting like a general idea of how Jay Gruden plans to approach Dwayne Haskins, then I think that's a credible piece of information for Michael Vick to share. Danny has had this thought. Danny Ruya has had this thought for some time now that he thinks that Jay Gruden doesn't want to start Dwayne Haskins right away. And now this is almost confirmation of that theory.
Yeah.
And I think that that makes sense. Why would Jay Gruden want to rush him out there? I've always said it makes more sense to just kind of give him as much time as possible. There's no urgency. This team's not going to win the Super Bowl this year. There's no urgency to rush Dwayne Haskins out there. The only urgency that I can see is Jay Gruden to want to have the best possible quarterback he can on the field this year because he's got to save his job.
Right.
And so this makes sense.
He's coaching for his job, and I would say that there's a much bigger uphill battle with Case Keenum under center than there is Dwayne Haskins, because if you start Dwayne Haskins for the full year, you as a coach, it's a desperate attempt to save your job, but you can say, you know, I have a rookie quarterback. He's learning a new system. I tried to give him a full year to see how he could really do. If you're starting the season as the second quarterback and you're doing it with Case Keenum, aren't you in a way kind of just saying, I don't have faith in this guy yet? It's kind of like what Vic Fangio said about Drew Lock, where he has already said that it looks like Joe Flacco is going to be the starter because, quote, he's not an NFL quarterback yet. He said that about Drew Lock, who they're building their team around.
Right.
And Vic Fangio just goes, we're going to start with Flacco because right now Drew Lock is a pitcher that can throw fast, but he's not a major leaguer yet. Well, you're not putting a lot of faith into him now when the Ravens just gave up on Joe Flacco to have Lamar Jackson take over, trade him away, and now you're saying, well, this guy isn't as good as Flacco. It's the same thing. I think that if you really want to put faith into Dwayne Haskins, which they should, by the way, it's like the number one question going into training camp by multiple outlets. Craig Hoffman's going through his 10 questions going into training camp. He's on number 5 right now. I would have to venture to say that either question number 1 or 2 is going to be Dwayne Haskins related. By the way, if you want to read any of those, you can go to thefandc.com.
Nice plug.
But this is a huge piece of the future of the Redskins.
Yeah.
And maybe this is me just being an uneducated fanboy, but I don't want to have Dwayne Haskins starting a man down, if that makes sense, where I want Dwayne Haskins to have the ball in his hands where it's his team and he knows it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like what they did with RG3, where it was his job to lose.
Right, but from the very beginning, I don't worry so much about ruining his confidence because he's a young guy. He's got confidence in spades coming into the league. Like, he knows that he's going to be a great quarterback. In his mind, that's definitely his mindset, and it should be. But so I don't worry so much about that. And I don't think if you're Dwayne Haskins, are you really, yeah, you want to play, but you also want to be ready to play. You don't want to go out and fall on your face. So if I'm Dwayne Haskins, I guess my perspective is it's okay to sit a little bit and figure out how to figure out this league. If that makes any sense, as Danny Ruya would
right,
say.
Right. We both quoted Danny Ruya in this segment, but if I'm Dwayne Haskins and I've been, working with some of the best quarterbacks, former and current, in the NFL, I went to Ohio State, first round pick, fell, was not supposed to be there at 15.
He's got a chip up. Yeah.
I would not have anything to soak over or take in and soak in, as Mike Vick said. I wouldn't have anything to take in from Case Keenum. Don't you already know everything that Case Keenum knows? Case Keenum's learning a new system. This is what doesn't make sense. He's learning the same system that Dwayne Haskins is. If it was Colt McCoy's job to lose, there would at least be an argument that, well, Colt's worked with Jay for a bunch of years, and he'll be able to see things in the setup that Dwayne hasn't seen yet. But the whole idea that, he's going to learn from Case Keenum, I think that's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy at all. I think this is like the ideal situation. Remember, the Redskins, it was Bruce Allen who said this a couple months back, right after they drafted Haskins, and he said, or maybe it was just before they drafted a quarterback, but they were, everybody knew they were targeting quarterbacks. And he said, look, this is the ideal situation for a young quarterback to come into. And initially, on first blanch, I was like, yeah, it's the Redskins. Okay. But then I thought about it, and I was like, it does make sense. They've got Case Keenum, who's a veteran quarterback who knows how to win, has won. And, yeah, he stunk last year in Denver. But he has the experience and the knowledge to share. And also Colt McCoy and Alex Smith. That is a good situation for a young quarterback. And here's the thing you have to remember. It's not Dwayne Haskins' call, as far as we know. So he has to sit until he's allowed to play. So I don't think he's really concerned about that in that regard. You know what I mean? Like, he's the young guy in this situation coming into an NFL locker room. It's incumbent upon him to learn as much as he can until it's his job. And it's not his job yet. And he has to earn it. And that's a great situation to be in.
Right. But first of all, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Do you think Dwayne Haskins will be able to win the job coming out of training camp? And also, what is your biggest question going into training camp? Those are the two Redskins topics we want to hear from you guys on. But last thing before we get to the Landon Collins interview, I just don't want him to be in a situation where we saw this with the Josh Johnson era and the Mark Sanchez era of the Redskins last year, where Jay was over the top about Colt,
mm-hmm.
where there was a point where if Colt McCoy didn't get hurt, there would be a still continued conversation that Colt McCoy was the guy because of certain reasons. Kind of like how we talked about Davey Martinez and managing the bullpen earlier. Jay was over the top about Colt, even when it was against what the Redskins were trying to do, which is win games. I don't want Jay to get in that same situation where, even though Dwayne Haskins is clearly the better quarterback, that he just decides, because he's the coach, no, it's going to be Case Keenum.
Well,
if he wins a job, he needs to be the number one guy.
Here's the biggest question to me that's been unanswered thus far in the offseason is did Jay know about the Case Keenum trade? Did he sign off on it? Because every decision we're led to believe, because this is what they say, they make a Redskins team decision, which involves Bruce, it involves right. Jay, it involves Kyle Smith and the scouting department.
Yeah, we've
all
talked
that
about
stuff.
That for months and months.
But did Jay know about it? And to me, that answers the question of whether or not Jay wants Case Keenum to be the starter out of the gate, and also kind of answers the question of, does he want to take his time and ease Dwayne Haskins into the offense?
Thumb and Shorts with you. We'll be on till 3 o'clock. This is Bit Day. Next, we'll hear from Landon Collins.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Bit Day. This was stuck in my head all last weekend.
Yeah. It's a silly song.
Because I had to hear it like 10 more times because I posted the podcast.
Yeah.
After the show. And this thing.
Which
this
I don't know why you did, because Sean did it.
Well, it was just whatever. It was such an earworm, and I couldn't get it out of my head. So I hope somebody else has that feeling right now.
A verbal nod, to borrow something from Chad Dukes, to Richmond John for making our Bit Day theme song.
We're so lucky to have such loyal listeners.
We are.
We're too dope.
Especially like Guy Loren, who just made a beautiful Photoshop of you and me as the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Because it is hot outside. I don't know if you know this, Shorts, but it's hot. So, of course, we would be the Miami Heat. And you are LeBron James. Some would say you are the LeBron James of Bit Day.
Oh, my God. I just saw it.
And it's you slam dunking Chris Russell's head. Hashtag Chris Russell is an ass. So thank you to Guy Loren for that. We have been teasing for the first hour of the show, and we've set up multiple times that you had a sit-down, one-on-one interview with Landon Collins.
Yeah. So I was out at Eastern Motors yesterday, out in Sterling, because they did a photo shoot for their annual Redskins commercial.
Right. For the legendary commercials at this point.
That's right. And look, I just want to preface this. I do think it's a good interview, but there were some dumb questions in there. And let me just explain very quickly. I didn't know that I was going to get Landon Collins. I knew that I had a chance to get Adrian Peterson and I had a chance to get Ryan Kerrigan.
All great guests.
So I had thought of questions for both of those guys. I didn't think of questions for Landon Collins.
Yeah.
So the very first question, you can tell I'm grasping.
Yeah.
And then that entire first question, as he's answering, I'm thinking of my next question. Finally get my bearings. But there were some wacky questions in there. I think they're good questions. I think they're questions that fans want to hear that they don't normally hear in an interview, and he's got a great dig against his former team.
My favorite question, if I can tease something, we're going to throw to it in a minute here, Sean, is my favorite is, what's the deal with the bandana? Why don't you roll that for us, Sean? This is Landon Collins with our own Blue Shorts.
All right, with Landon Collins out here at Eastern Automotive Group, photo shoot, video shoot. This is a famed rite of passage almost for Redskins fans and for Redskins players. What was the experience like, first of all?
It's awesome. It's fun. It's fun. Just being around with the guys, HPs and Ryan. It's just being here and knowing who's been here, the lineup that they have, and the history they have. It's a great feeling to be doing this.
Now, that Lamborghini behind you right there.
Yeah.
Ryan Kerrigan just tried to squeeze into it. Now, you warned him. Don't get in there.
Correct.
You can't fit. Once he got in, he locked himself in and couldn't find the handle. Do you feel like he had that coming to him a little bit?
Yeah, I think he had it coming to him. Like, certain cars only fit certain people, and that car doesn't fit him. It's just too compact in there. Nah, I could get in there easily, but I don't think he could.
Will you, though? That's the
question.
Will I? Yeah.
Nah, because it's going to make me want to get the car in. I already have enough cars.
What kind of cars do you have?
My favorite one right now is my Aston Martin DBS 11. So that's my favorite one right now.
You know, I was one time I was reporting something for the Washington Nationals, the hometown baseball club, and then I inadvertently reported that one player has a group text going with a certain group of guys on the team, and then the fans were like, whoa, who's on this group chat? And then they were kind of blown away about it. Do you have any group chats going with guys on the team right now?
On the team right now? Yeah, our DB group chat. We kind of stay within each other, trying to get everybody to know what they're doing on the same page, or if anybody need any help or anything like that, or need to talk to somebody. We all got our numbers in that group chat. We kind of text almost every other day. But when the season starts, we're going to probably be texting every day. But right now, we text every other day because nobody's here yet. But when camp gets around and other stuff starts happening, we'd be definitely on the phone all the time.
Do you feel like having that kind of constant or open line of communication with those guys kind of makes it easier to come into a new situation and you're with a new team and, you know, being in constant contact with them or have the option to be in constant contact with them, you know, just kind of eases that process of...
Yeah, it makes it 10 times easier. It makes you even more comfortable to just be able to talk to somebody, know their mindset, and know that they want you here, you know. Some guys could be standoffish and be like, you here, but I don't want you, you know. But just having that open line of communication brings everybody closer.
Now the bandana. Mm-hmm. What do we got on that right there? Seeing like
it's Louis V.
Okay.
Yeah, Louis V.
I'm unfamiliar. Is that obvious?
Uh-huh.
Would anybody looking at that who knows the brand know that?
Nah, not many people buy the scarves there. I kind of got into the scarves. I only wear them because if I don't have a haircut or I got my hair done, that's the only time I wear them. But I haven't had time to get to my barber or my hairstylist.
Right.
So right now, that's why it's on my head.
Now, I don't know if this is the right word, but ninja bandanas, that's like a new thing in the NBA. And I saw you wearing one that was kind of similar. It's not just like the regular headband or sweatband. It's like it's got like a long tail to it.
You have to show me that one.
I feel like you had one that said HTTR that you wore back in mini camp.
Oh, the Redskins one. No, that was from I got that from where was I? I think Cabo. So I got that from like this these people that makes them. They was just on the side of the beach,
yeah,
selling them. So I just bought a couple.
Do you have this is a dumb question, but do you have one lined up for each game of the season?
Oh, the bandanas?
Yeah.
Oh no, no, I wish, but I'll try to find some. That's a good idea. I might do that.
and what are you most looking forward to, obviously, about getting into camp down in Richmond in, I guess, about a week now?
Honestly, less than a week. Less than a week now. But honestly, just ready just to get out there with the guys and get those pads on and get back to it. I've been missing football. I missed the end of my last year, so just ready to get back to it and just ready to contribute to the team and help win.
Now, I don't know if you saw this, but the Madden 20 ratings came out.
Yeah.
And, the Redskins are basically ranked third in the division out of the overall ranking. The defense was pretty strong for the Redskins. Do you feel like Madden's kind of underrating the Redskins a little bit?
I think Madden's underrating a lot of guys, and especially guys that's been the Pro Bowls, been All Pros and stuff like that. And everybody's just score is just really low. So, yeah, I think they're underrating everybody's. And then on the Redskins, yeah, definitely underrating a lot of people. You got AJ Peterson, you got Josh Norman, you got myself, you got Jonathan Allen, you got Darren Payne. All those guys are top-notch guys. I don't know how all of us are 83s or lower than that, you know. So, it's bad.
But you're aware.
I'm very aware.
Do you feel like, outside of Madden, do you feel like you have anything to prove this year with the brand new contract? Or do you feel like you're going to bring the same intensity that you brought every other year in the NFL?
Honestly, I'm going to definitely have something to play for just within myself, because I haven't finished the past 2 years for that reason. And just knowing what I can do and the struggles I've been through with the other team I was on, I know I could be better.
You didn't say their name.
Huh?
You didn't say their name. Was that intentional?
It's no point in saying their name.
Last question. It was a shoulder, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How's that feeling?
It's feeling awesome. It's doing great. Fully recovered. Just waiting for the doctor to say I'm good to go.
Cool. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Got it, baby.
Couple takeaways from that interview with Blue Shorts with Landon Collins, new addition in the offseason for the Washington Redskins. Going to be a star on the defense. A couple notes I have here.
Okay, let's hear it.
He bought his HTTR bandana in Cabo.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Like, maybe we misheard him, but that's what it sounded like to me, too.
I mean, he definitely said Cabo.
Is that Mexico?
Yeah, Cabo Wabo.
So, Mexico, somewhere in Mexico, they're selling Redskins bandanas?
Yeah, well, that's where all the, without going down this wormhole, that's where all the NFL lucha masks are coming from.
Really?
They're coming from, like, Mexico City, because people are taking just the logos and putting them on luchador masks, and they're getting sent up to America through Amazon and stuff like that. But those are coming from Mexico. So, and then you followed up with that question. Okay. And you asked him if he had any other bandanas planned for the upcoming year.
He said it was a great idea. I gave him a great idea. So if nothing else comes out of this very good interview, obviously, this quality interview,
yeah.
There was very little background noise. It wasn't distracting at all. At least I gave him a great idea to plan his headbands, a different headband for each game.
Are you going to be excited if, like, halfway through training camp, he announces that he will have a different bandana for every game?
See, I don't think he would announce it. He's just going to do it. He's going to do it, and somebody's going to pick up on it at some point. And it's going to be me, because I gave him the idea.
Because you know to look for it.
So good job, Shorts, there.
All right, let's make a little alteration to our show sheet, our rundown, because we got crazy with time. We have some calls on the Redskins, on Dwayne Haskins, and on the biggest questions going in to training camp. So let's get to that next. And also, we got to fit birthdays in as well before
right.
we get out of here, because we always do that on Bit Day. We're on till 3 o'clock. This is Bit Day. Thom and Shorts with you.
Do me a favor, read my Twitter account.
Oh, At Chris Lingbach.
Right. People can find the interview there later. So follow
at Chris Lingbach or Lingbach.
Yeah. And also, while you're at it, people can follow my buddy Tom Daly, too, at Tom Daly, too.
Thank you very much. This is Bit Day, by the way. A happy 10-year anniversary to 106.7 The Fan. A lot of hard work from a lot of hardworking people. Congrats especially to CK, who has been the leader of this crazy ship the whole time.
Literally a crazy ship.
Yes.
We're all crazy.
You know, and
all of us.
There's been a lot of turnover, but there are three things that have been here the whole time. Shorts, Chad Dukes, the Sports Junkies.
How about that?
I think you're in a pretty good group, Shorts.
Thanks, man.
But we were talking about Dwayne Haskins, and by far he's the number one story going into training camp. Is he going to be the starter when training camp ends? Is it going to be Case Keenum starting week one? That's the biggest question by far, and Tony in Fairfax has been waiting patiently on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. Tony, what's up?
Hey, fellas. I just wanted to chime in. In my opinion, I think it should probably be Case Keenum, because if you were to give both guys – like a football test as far as like game plans and opposing defenses, I would say Case Keenum would probably win hands down. I feel like he had, I mean, did he play in a West Coast offense when he was in Minnesota and lit it up? That was one of my questions. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure he could probably pick up the offense that we're throwing out there now. The other thing is, you don't necessarily want to stunt Haskins' growth because, you know, coming through with our team, I mean, I think Trent Williams will be back, but God forbid if he's not. I mean, you don't want him to get beaten up out there. Plus, we don't necessarily have like a number one wide receiver like a DeAndre Hopkins who can catch like 10 balls a game. He's just like, whatever, if he's guarded, you can just throw him the ball and he'll catch it. So that's pretty much what I was thinking. I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, those are some great points. Thanks
Thank
for the
you,
call.
Tony.
I was going to ask him what he thought about the interview, because obviously he got to hear the whole
he
thing.
He did hear the whole thing.
Because he had to sit on hold. But
asked about bandanas.
He raised some great points, though, and a big one is Trent Williams.
Yeah, that's something that I think when we were first talking about it, we hadn't gotten to, because besides Chris Russell, I mean, I haven't heard a lot of chatter in any sort of platform talking about the potential that Trent Williams might not be a Redskin. I think that that's something that is the opposite of a big story going into training camp. I don't think we're talking about that enough.
And there's a reason that we haven't heard anything, because we're not going to find out until he either shows up or doesn't show up to training camp. So
right.
We're going to find out real soon here next week when training camp kicks off.
Yeah. Well, you know, Shorts, we had the move. We had it originally scheduled for 1:45, but it's something we always do. Let's play the birthday game. All right, Shorts, well, you know how this goes. I give you a celebrity, and you have to tell me how old the celebrity is. This is something we have always done.
Staple of the
show.
On
Bit Day, staple of the show. Let's start with someone who was talked about a lot on the Sports Junkies, who have been on the air for 23 years. But 10 years here on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay.
They talked a lot about Julianne Hough.
Oh.
The reason why Julianne Hough was talked about a lot is because she's married to Brooks Like. Okay? Brooks Like is probably going to have to take Julianne Hough out to dinner tonight because it is her birthday today. How old is Julianne Hough?
Julianne Hough. Now, I know you're not supposed to guess women's age, but I'm going to take a crack.
Well, you're especially not supposed to ask.
Well, I'm going to take a crack at it and say 35.
Wow. A little high.
I think you're
aging her a little bit.
I went 0 for last week. I can't do it again.
She is 31 today.
Wow.
Julianne Hough, 31.
She's not happy with me right now.
No, I don't think so. I hope she's not listening. Elliot Yameen. Former contestant on American Idol, Elliot Yameen, from the fifth season of American Idol.
When would the fifth season have been? Give me a ballpark. We're talking like 2007, maybe? 2005?
2006.
2006.
Paul Abdul, Simon Cowell, Randy Jackson, Ryan Seacrest. The winner of this season was Taylor Hicks, but we're asking, how old is Elliot Yameen?
Elliot Yameen is 37.
Closer than you were with Julianne Hough. He is an even 40 today. Elliot Yameen, 40 years old. Elliot Yameen from Richmond, by the way. Didn't know that.
How about that?
Learn something new every day.
Sure do.
Someone who was a longtime staple in the NBA. One of my favorite players to watch growing up. Ray Allen has a birthday today. How old is Ray Allen?
I think I'm going to nail this one. Ray Allen,
you look confident,
is 43.
44.
No! No!
Ray Allen was 43 yesterday.
No! It has happened again!
Today, he is 44.
That's what happened last week.
One more shot at this, Shorts. I think you can do it. This is a song that we heard at every graduation. Vitamin C. The singer Vitamin C, who sang the graduation song for people who graduated in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Vitamin C has a birthday today. How old is Vitamin C?
Song probably came out in 96.
You think it came out that long ago?
I'm thinking so. 96 or 99 range, maybe. I'm going to say Vitamin C is 47. Come on now. Come on. 47. Give me 47. How old is Vitamin C? 47.
Vitamin C was born July 20th, 1972. Uh-oh. Vitamin C is 47 years old.
It feels so good. Feels so good to get one.
You're finally that was a Chris Davis like snide you were on.
By the way, you can tell I don't know how to do math because you said the date and I said, uh-oh. I had no idea.
Wikipedia says the vitamin C is 47. So you finally have one hit on the board. Congratulations.
Winner, chicken dinger.
All right. We're going to come back, contain ourselves, get ourselves together, and we'll celebrate during the break you getting vitamin C's birthday and age correctly. And when we come back, let's talk about something that was a big point of conversation on 106.7 The Fan this week. Steve Buckhantz. We have some audio from when he was on with Grant and Pete. We will play you some of that. And also, the addition or the removal of the interim tag of Tommy Shepard, where they made two moves, both of which I feel that the Wizards got negative reaction for in the way that they handled it. We'll get into all that next. If you want to chime in on the Wizards, Tommy Shepard, or Steve Buckhantz, you can give us a call, 1-800-636-1067. Congrats to Shorts on finally getting an age correct. This is Bit Day. Hit download. And then if you don't want to listen to it, delete it off your phone. But we just need the download. That's all we need.
Yep.
Also, if you want to, you can also listen to the download Saturday, 7 a.m. with Shorts.
Unfortunately, didn't actually do the download today.
Oh.
It was,
breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, but next week, obviously, we'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so much going on.
Any apologies you want to offer up?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying you need to apologize to somebody.
Who? Jim Jester?
I don't know. So Tommy Shepard finally got the interim GM tag removed from his name. He's now just the general manager. But I would say that was the second biggest news of the week, Shorts, where the biggest news was the fact that it became official that Steve Buckhantz was not going to be the play-by-play announcer.
Yeah.
For the television broadcast anymore on NBC Sports Washington. And Brendan Dar had his producer hat on this day, was able to track down Steve Buckhansen, get him on the show, and only a couple hours after it was officially announced.
Yeah, Steve, that was a great get.
Steve Buckhansen was on with Grant Paulson and Pete Medhurst, and Pete had a question that Steve had the answer to before Pete could even get the question out.
Steve, we know in part of this, too, when it's a network and team, team has some say in this. Have you heard from anybody from Monumental Sports?
Team has all say in this. Let's not be mistaken about that. There was a reason that John Miller was fired from the Orioles, the best announcer in all of baseball. He wasn't enough of a homer, and he was let go. Mel Proctor in the same situation.
So that was Steve Buckhansen talking about who was really at play in making the decision, and that it maybe was more than a television decision. They followed up with this cut here.
If somebody from our company had gone up to Ted and Zach and said, listen, you know, we're thinking about changing the hockey announcers because I'm just not sure about them. You don't think he would have looked them right in the face and said, that's not happening? Well, that didn't happen here, so that's unfortunate, and that's the most hurtful thing. And I have not heard from Ted or Zach at all since this has happened, or since this whole process even began, and that's also hurtful.
Yeah, I would have to imagine that it's maybe personally or as a career, maybe one of the lowest moments he's probably ever felt, where you give so much of your career and so much time to a team and to an organization, and then when it is time to finally close that door, and hey, I get it. Teams move on. Teams are rebuilding. If the Wizards are going to decide, with the general manager being a new general manager, kind of blowing up the team, maybe trading your stars and John Wall and Bradley Beal to continue to have this rebuild process, it makes sense to have a new play-by-play guy come in at that moment while you're kind of turning everything over. But you would think maybe a edible arrangement, maybe a phone call, maybe some sort of, you know, Instagram post, just something to maybe thank him for his service and for the time that he had committed to the team. It's very disheartening as a fan of all DC sports to just hear that you can have someone that has been around for so long and has been such a staple of our youth and as our young adulthood, just to have him just kind of thrown away like yesterday's garbage. It's very disheartening.
Look, here's the thing. The way that they treated him is despicable. You can believe that NBC and they have been consistent this whole time in saying that it was their decision. You can believe that and also believe that Ted could have jumped in and saved Steve Buckhansen. Now, whether or not you save him, if you want to make the decision to move on, okay. But treat the guy with respect. He's an institution. I've been, you know, when I was coming up and I was in high school, me and my friends, we always used to walk around the hallways of Fairfax High School, and we would say Dagger. It was something that we said because we all watched the Wizards. We watched Gilbert, and it was a part of our own personal vernacular, and it was because of Steve Buckhansen. And we all loved that because he was a part of DC sports. He was a part of the identity. The fact that you can, back in March, kick this guy around, let him dangle in the wind, and say, well, he might be back, he might not. We haven't decided
for
yet.
For months and months with no official announcement.
It's despicable, and he deserves a better send-off than what he got, of course. But then, this is what really kind of hurt me listening to that, where he said he was actually hurt by the fact that he hadn't heard from Ted or Zach Leonsis this entire time. That's disgusting in itself, and Ted deserves all of the crap that he's getting from fans right now for that. You don't treat people like that. You just don't do it, and especially somebody who should deserve more, who does deserve more. It's disgusting, and honestly, to me, I have a hard time viewing Ted Leonsis as any different of a person than Dan Steiner right now. As an owner, to me, he's made just as many questionable decisions, and this is the most questionable decision that's ever been made, even more so to me than letting Ernie Grunfeld stick around for 14 years. It doesn't make any sense to me, but the guy deserved to be treated with decency at the very least. Even if he hadn't been around for 22 years, he deserves respect. The respect of, well, we're going to be straightforward with you about what's going on. Back in March, they should have said, we have no intention of bringing you back. They knew then that they weren't going to bring him back. They should have told him And he had to just sit there and twist in the wind for months. In that interview, he talks about how he didn't know he would be researching for the season, this coming season, not knowing if he was actually going to be able to use the information that he was researching. How awful is that?
Hours and hours, days and days of research for a potential of having a job.
And to be quite honest with you, it's not just Ted and the Wizards or NBC for making an awful decision. To me, it's also, I'm a little disappointed in the media collective and how they've treated this. And maybe it's because they kind of got it out of their system when the story first broke in March. Okay, I could understand that.
Right, because I do think that there were a lot of people, Danny Ruye included, that knew this is it, and they're just going to kind of let it go away, and people are going to forget about it.
And Danny just happened to be off this week, so I know that he would have stood on the table, but somebody should have stood on the table for this guy. Somebody should have stood up and said, this is wrong. This is the wrong decision. You're treating him wrong, and this is effed up. We can't accept this. Like, something needs to happen beyond what, like, nobody watches the Wizards anyways, but the few that were watching because of the familiarity of Steve Buckhantz and Phil Chenier. Like I said, institutions in this market, and it's disgusting the way that both of them were treated, but this is even worse than how Phil Chenier was kicked out the door, which they politely tried to cover up by retiring his number months
right.
later.
And also, that was...
What are they doing?
That was the trial run of firing someone. That was, they should have taken the notes that they had from that round of it and maybe go, maybe we should do things a little differently this time, because you would have to assume, have the intention of getting rid of the other half of that broadcast team at some point. There was a huge outcry and people being upset for when Phil Chenier was removed from the broadcast team. But people said, well, you know, at least we still have Buck. At least we still have Buckhantz. Now you don't. You would think that maybe then you would go, maybe we should treat him differently and go over the top, just because we already know that there's going to be an outpouring of support on his behalf against us. We're going to look like a terrible franchise. People are going to compare us to Dan Snyder. You're not the first person on this radio station to compare him to Dan Snyder, or Ted Leonsis to Dan Snyder, where people are starting to come out of the woodwork and really see that how they're treating people is not in the way that a family or like an organization or as a team would treat people, where they're just treating it as a business. And honestly, people watch sports because they don't want to talk about work. They yeah. want something to get away from having work and business on the mind all the time. That's where sports comes in. When the curtain gets pulled back and you get shown that this is a business too, and that we really don't care about winning championships. We really don't care about this. We just care about stringing you along and having you maybe continue to support us, even though we're in the middle of a complete nuclear bomb of a season, complete nuclear bomb of an off season. Why don't we just, you know, send them an edible arrangement. Somebody out there, if you're listening to Bit Day, send Steve Buckhantz a better edible arrangement.
How does Ted not call? How does he not pick up the phone and go, hey, I'm really sorry about the decision that we made, but we're going in a different direction? How does that not happen? Well, I don't understand
this,
that.
This is why it doesn't happen, because it's a hard phone call to make.
Then hey, don't make the decision. Don't move on.
Right. If you're going to make the decision, you should do something.
By the way, in NBC, I know technically NBC made the decision. It was their call. I get that, people. I'm not stupid. But what Buckhantz said is correct. If Ted Leonsis didn't want to move on from him, or he could have saved his job. He could have picked up the phone and called NBC and said, that's not happening. By the way, Ted Leonsis, let's not forget, he owns 1/3 of NBC Sports Washington. And by my understanding, they have 2 out of the 6 board seats over there. So they have say in this, regardless of what the official statement is from NBC. So I'm not buying that load of crap either. He definitely had some say in this, and he could have saved Steve Buckhantz's job. At the very least, he owed him a phone call out of the decency, common decency. He owed him a phone call. This is so stupid.
Yeah, you don't let someone like that kind of just wither away in the off season and just wonder, well, you know, I could go on a vacation in November, but I also could be a television broadcaster for an NBA franchise, so I might not be able to do that.
It's just just despicable, man. It really is.
1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. If you want to chime in on, I guess, the career of Steve Buckhantz being over with the Washington Wizards play-by-play on NBC Sports Washington on television, give us a call. 1-800-636-1067. Also, Shorts, we need to get into the side of how this handling of the Buckhantz deal kind of goes hand-in-hand with how they handled the Tommy Shepard deal as well. This is Bit Day on the Fan. All right, Shorts, a couple more minutes here on Bit Day. Thom and Shorts with you. You can follow Blue Shorts on Twitter, at Chris Lingbach.
People can follow you at Thom Daily, too.
Thank you very much. And we're talking about the moving on from Steve Buckhantz, an institution, longtime play-by-play broadcaster for the Washington Wizards on television.
Just dismissed in the worst way possible. I was thinking about this a couple days ago. They couldn't have handled the situation any worse.
Right.
They really did it the worst way possible.
So we're getting some calls, of course. I'm sure that Shorts isn't the only one who feels very strongly about this. Let's go to Rob in D.C. Rob, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I got a couple minutes to rant. It ain't going to take long. But the way Che Lyons has handled this was very below, I mean, hit below the belt. After he gave his all for all those years when you put a bunch of crap on to go out and be professional and try to make a way to.
His phone is.
Yeah, I think we're losing. Sorry, out,
but. But I think from what we heard from Rob is pretty spot on, where it's just below the belt. It's unnecessary. It would have been nice to maybe just thank him for the time. Let's go to Dave and Tyson's. Dave, what's going on?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, doing good, man.
Hey, I completely agree with both of you. And did you guys happen to hear Chris Russell earlier with Tom Lavera?
Heard some of it driving in, but yeah, we were prepping in another room. But go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, Tom Lavera shares your opinion and, you know, my opinion that, you know, this was a complete, you know, disaster and wrong move by Leontis and everybody. But Chris Russell seems to think it was a business decision, and it came down to money, and that Leontis basically just wanted to save some money, and that's why he had to move on. He didn't think that. You know, that he did not think that Buckhantz was owned owed a, you know, a call or anything. I just,
Russell's an idiot. I mean,
that's fine. If you're going to make a business decision, that's fine. I get that. You're going to save more money by hiring somebody younger, cheaper. Okay, fine. You still treat him well, treat him with the respect that he deserves on the way out. You let him have a chance to say goodbye to his fans. It's screwed up that they didn't let him do that. You give him the common decency of telling him back in March, instead of letting him twist in the wind for the next 4 months, hey, we're moving in a different direction. So thanks for your time.
If that caller was correct and that was Russell's take, that's the most Russell thing I've ever heard. He's the only person that doesn't think that Steve Buckhantz was owed a phone call. Let's go to PJ and Reston. PJ, what's up?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you guys when everybody's saying from a performance standpoint, it was rather odd too, because I'm 40. I've been watching this guy since I was 15 or whenever he first started. And I always marveled at how, even when the Wizards would have the most mundane, boring, crappy season, he always was enthusiastic, always was on the ball. And even if they want to save over save some money, whatever, it's like, you know, do it a respectful way. It also shows how out of touch they are, not just with Buckhantz, but any area sports team knows that a sports announcer that's there for a long time has some kind of a emotional attachment with fans. Also, I've met Steve two different occasions in a Franklin Farm Shopping Center Giant. Very, very nice, classy guy. And not everyone is classy. That same Giant, the actor Patton Oswalt, I met him, didn't ask for a picture or autograph, just said, hey, are you out that awesome actor from, you know, the King of Queens? And he goes, yeah, I might be an actor. He just kind of walked away from me. So he's a cool guy. Not all celebrities and stuff are that polite and cool when you meet them.
Thank you, PJ, for the
absolutely.
Call.
He was a great guy. I mean,
yeah, we won't hear a lot of people say bad things about him.
Right. We've heard 1,000 stories just like that. It's just the bottom line is, if you're going to make the decision, do it respectfully. The guy has earned that at the very least, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and we mentioned the Tommy Shepard thing before we went to break. Just very quickly, the way that they've handled that, where he's been the interim general manager since April 2nd when Ernie Grunfeld was fired, the way that they handled that just seems pretty on par with how they handled this, where it's just like, we're not going to address it now. We'll address it when we want to or when we feel it's appropriate. And then all of a sudden you get a total news dump where the Wizards have removed the interim tag from Tommy Shepard after the draft, after free agency. And now he's a general manager. Just make the decision and stand by it. Just stop with the... If you know it's going to be a problem, because they probably didn't do that because of who was the guy from Toronto, Ujiri?
Yeah, Masai Ujiri, and then the other guy was Tim Donnelly from Denver. Right.
If you know you're going to get your ass kicked, if you know that there's going to be something that's going to come out negative, just do it and own it.
It was a dog and pony show, the whole GM search. It is how I perceived it, and I don't understand how you go into an NBA draft, obviously the most important part of the offseason, with an interim GM. How do you go into free agency and go, yeah, we're going to let this guy handle this for us? Yeah, the guy who's going to be establishing our roster for the next 3 years, the interim guy is going to do it. I don't know how you do that after saying that you're going to have a legitimate GM search, but it's just... it's befuddling. I like the moves that he's made. I think he's done a great job. I think he's earned the job based on what he's done, or at least a 1 year sample or something. But
just announced it. Just announce it.
Yes. Just make the decision.
All right. Thanks to everyone who participated in Bit Day. Thanks to Sean for running the board, making sure everything sounds good. If you missed the show, you can go to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan, any place where you can get your podcasts, and it'll be under Bit Day, so give us a download. And thank you for everyone who put us on, and this is 10 years with 106.7 The Fan. It's our our third show here in spot duty, but I've worked here for 8 years, you've worked here for 10 shorts, and we're very proud of the 10-year anniversary, and congrats to CK for all the good work and making sure everything goes according to plan.
It's incredible that we've made it 10 years. It really is, from the very humble beginnings that we started with, and the very tight budget that we started with, to the fact that we're still here, honestly, is in this business, media is remarkable. So congrats to everybody who's joined us for that ride.
All right, you'll catch us next Sunday, the 28th, after Nats Dodgers. We will have you from about 5:30 to 8:00. So you guys making noise about Bit Day has worked. We will talk to you next Sunday, the 28th, Bit Day, on 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.